The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Good afternoon to you, Rolien.
Good afternoon, and I wish I could start the broadcast on better news, but we do have it confirmed from the IDF that two people killed in a plane crash in the south today were a trainer and a cadet from the military's flight school. And it was a light aircraft, and it is being investigated at the moment. It's not clear whether or not it was technical or a pilot error. The control tower is also part of the process of investigation, and right now all training flights have been grounded.
Wow, that is interesting, Rolien. Very sad to hear that. And what makes it worse, this is the second accident in almost 2 weeks. I think there was one in Sinai, wasn't there?
Well, it's always difficult when we lose our soldiers, our pilots, any of our defense personnel in action. There was something on the Sinai just a couple of weeks ago. It's unclear exactly what it was. But in this case, we have a light plane that did crash in the southern Negev, very close to Rahat, which is a Bedouin village in the Negev. And it did kill both people on board.
Rolien, let's talk about normalization updates, and I'd love you to address what on earth is going on with Saudi Arabia, because such contradictory stories coming out from depending which source you look at.
Well, I think we have to, you know, zoom out and look at this from a macro level. I think the Saudis, while they did talk about normalization, that has been made official, although they haven't agreed to it yet. I think we've also got to understand, you know, that they're looking at what kind of reaction this is going to get in the Arab street, and a very, very hostile reaction from people like Hamas yesterday about the news that the Prime Minister did meet with the Crown Prince. I think what the Saudis were probably hoping for was that the meeting would have been kept more of a secret, that we wouldn't have had more information coming out. But also, as we are in the last 70 days of the Trump administration, and you know, there's going to be a push from their side to try and get through as many policies on the Middle East as possible, and in some cases they're not going to get everything through the way that they would hope. I think perhaps the knowledge of this meeting was extremely premature. You know, we had the fantastic comment from Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday saying, you know, I don't normally comment on these things. And, you know, basically, if I was there, I'm certainly not going to say if I was, but if I was there, this is, you know, this is what I would endeavor to do. I'm going to try and enlarge the circle of peace. So, you know, it's very nebulous language, which we can, unfortunately for him, see right through.
Yeah, 100%. I must say, my personal take on this, Rolien, is whoever is engineered this process has been very, very smart in terms of getting Dubai and Bahrain to normalize with the carrot of Saudi Arabia around the corner, but confidence building vis-a-vis the Israeli public so that they're brave enough to take the steps necessary. I think it's really quite smart.
Well, I think we also have to understand that we are dealing with master strategists, you know, who are spearheading this. This is done by, you know, the Prime Minister, the head of the Mossad. You know, it's going to be handled very, very carefully, which from our side will have an outcome which we hope will benefit us in the long run. But you can already see, because an avenue or a platform like Twitter for me is always an interesting barometer by which we can measure people's reaction. And, you know, it's quite fantastic that all of us were alerted to this at exactly the same time. It all came out at exactly the same time. And everybody planned or not with the language that, you know, we would like to see normalization with what we call KSA, which is the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Rolien, there was a story that we were going to chat about yesterday. We ran out of time, and it just has perplexed me for 24 hours. Rockets and Corona. What are you alluding to? How do those two go together?
Okay. So let me put you in the picture. On the early hours of Sunday morning, rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip into Israel. One hit an empty warehouse in Ashkelon. And, of course, the IDF responded in a kind by responding to specific targets within the Gaza Strip. Now, why are they firing rockets? Now, most people would think maybe it's because of normalization. Maybe it's, you know, the last days of the Trump administration. And you know, maybe they're testing, or maybe they're acting on behalf of Iran. No, Hamas have said that they want more ventilators, and if they can't breathe, we can't breathe. And we have it from the health authority today that the Palestinians are facing record numbers of the COVID-19 environment. So this is a policy that Hamas have instituted since the beginning of the global pandemic, is that when they want more stuff, they're going to just fire a rocket and kind of force us into that. However, it must be noted that all throughout this pandemic, Israel has cooperated with the Palestinians, whether it is through COGAT, our IDF unit that is responsible for the coordination of the Gaza Strip and the territories, for getting stuff into there, which includes PPE, which includes medicines, which includes ventilators, through Israel, through the United Nations, and also through an NGO called Project Rosanna. That stuff is getting in there. We are also working with the Palestinians in helping to train medical personnel. That also must be noted. And also, we've signed in our deals, because Prime Minister Netanyahu is basically signing deals with anyone who has a vaccine at the moment. We've signed deals with Pfizer, which we are expecting to receive a shipment of vaccines by next month, Moderna, as well as AstraZeneca. And the Prime Minister has said, this is our strategy. We will get as many vaccines into this country as possible, and millions of those vaccines will go to the Palestinians as well. So we're taking responsibility for helping to vaccinate Palestinians as well. So it's very important, because I know that the World Health Organization, which is an agent of the United Nations, spent at least 4 hours the other day talking about how we have neglected the health of the Palestinians and not focusing on the global pandemic. And this is our not a subtle reminder that we have been cooperating, and you know, that was just a blatant agenda pushing.
I'm glad to hear that, because I did look at Al Jazeera yesterday, as I tend to do to get an alternative view, and there's a massive picture showing overworked hospital staff in Gaza threatening a massive outbreak, blaming Israel. And I was just thinking, Rolene, didn't they find the deepest, most expensive tunnel ever just a couple of weeks ago? I mean, maybe if the money was spent on other things rather than tunnels to kidnap Israeli soldiers, maybe this whole situation wouldn't have arisen in the first place.
Well, you raise a very, very important point, because the Gaza Strip is one of the regions in the world that receives more aid than anywhere else. We now start to see that our friends in the Arab world are getting, quite frankly, sick and tired of seeing their aid squandered, now that they know where the aid is rather not going. And it does beg the question that instead of building tunnels, instead of sending rockets, instead of stockpiling weapons, maybe you should have thought ahead to a time, and none of us could have predicted coronavirus, a global pandemic this year, but maybe you should have prepared for a time where we do face a health crisis, and you need to have everything at your disposal to serve your constituents, to serve your civilians, and make sure that first and foremost, you do no harm and they are taken care of.
Ro, a headline that I saw the other day that really surprised me: Israel apparently the best country for female entrepreneurs. Got to admit, I am surprised.
Bow chicka wow wow. Well, I can say, as a female entrepreneur, very, very happy with this news. But yes, MasterCard has ranked Israel the first or the leading country in the world as far as female entrepreneurship is concerned. We were fourth last year. You know, we don't like to be fourth. in Israel. We like to be first at everything. And we are first. It is shown that Israeli women are slightly more driven than the men. But also, the secret to our success is that we have very focused institutional support for small and medium-sized businesses. Those are SMEs, for those of you in the business world or interested in business talk. And we are extremely driven. But, you know, that's not enough for us. We intend to double this within the next couple of years. And there's a big, big focus on networking opportunities and growing our lady entrepreneurs. And I must say that I was very, very proud on Sunday to sit in on a webinar with the UAE Israel Chamber of Commerce, specifically focused on women in the media. So there are those processes in place, there are those institutions in place, and I like to see that when it comes to talking peace, because women are natural peacemakers, that we certainly very, very involved in the discussion on that side as well.
I know we're out of time, and I know I haven't got time to ask you a question, but if a listener asks, I have to. Please ask Rolene about the fire in Jerusalem today. Do you know anything about a fire in Jerusalem?
Yes, there was a fire in a residential building, terrible fire. Some people jumping out of the building to save their lives. We haven't had any reports of fatalities, but a terrible, terrible situation.
Rolene Marks, as always, thank you so very much. I love the fact that you can field whatever it is we throw at you. Thank you, as always.
Me and my giant bat or racket or stick will be back tomorrow.